Morning. You guys sound good this morning. We have many things to be thankful for. Turn your Bibles over to Exodus 33. You know, I know it's Thanksgiving weekend, so we're almost obligated to talk about gratitude and Thanksgiving, right? Surely not. We need to be grateful every day. That's like Christmas is not the only time we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and Easter is not the time we celebrate his death. Thanksgiving should never be the time that we celebrate thankfulness. It should be every day. Can Neil Haynes and Kay Peterson please stand up, please? Amen. These guys were recently baptized into the Lord. I salute you. I'm telling you, teens, we got to work on it. You know, I know these guys are particularly grateful this morning, but let them not be alone in being grateful for our relationship with God. This morning, what I want to focus on is just that. Being grateful about our relationship with God. I want to show you a video, and then we're going to continue. Amen. If you haven't figured it out, my lesson is I am a friend of God. How do you feel when you hear those lyrics? You know, this is a song that we sing here at church a lot. And it's a pretty boastful statement that I am a friend of God. If it's true, that's amazing, but are you a friend of God this morning? Do you know what it means to be a friend of God? Or is that just some cool song that says it over and over again? You know, I get it. When I first heard the song and when I listened to it, I understand why that lyric is enough to be the whole song. Because it's so meaningful. It's so chock full of meat. Being a friend of God is not a simple statement. It's huge, and that's what we're going to focus on today. Look over in Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, in verse 11, the Bible says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses will return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. We're going to stop right there. The Bible says that Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to a friend. You know, we know through other scriptures that the Bible clearly says that a man cannot see the face of God and live. So I don't really think that this was a statement about that they actually looked face to face at each other. I believe that they were really talking about the nature of their relationship, that they were very close. Are you close this morning to God? You know, we come to church on Thursdays, we come to church on Sundays, and I know many of us are striving to be close to God. But what does that mean? You know, when you look at the life of Moses, it meant a life of servanthood. Moses was a great servant. You know, many of us desire to have direct contact with God. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed to hear God's voice? I know I do. I want to know what God wants me to do. I don't want to be shooting in the dark. I don't want, you know, I want God to lead men to tell me. And if it were possible, I would love to hear him as well. That's not a bad prayer to pray. He hasn't really spoken to me yet, directly. Anybody spoken? Don't raise your hands. We don't want to get anybody committed yet today. But why is that so crazy to think that he would do that? He did it in the Old Testament. Now he uses his Bible to speak to us. But if we're supposed to be friends of God, what does that entail? Look over in James 2. James 2, starting in verse 20. It says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. You know, Abraham was called God's friend. Isn't that an amazing thing to be? To be known for people to look at you and say, he's a friend of God. When people look at you and they say, man, he loves God, he respects God, he's a good friend to God. I mean, what's a good friend? A good friend's a person that is there for you. A good person's a person that you can trust. In any relationship, if there's no trust, you don't have a friendship. You don't have a relationship. You know, there are levels of relationships. And to be at the top, you need trust. You need to honor your friends. Do you honor God with your life? Or do you live contrary to the things you preach? That's rough right there. You know, the holidays are upon us. It's time that a lot of people start falling asleep spiritually. This is a dangerous time for disciples. We can get pulled into the world of Black Friday, of Cyber Monday, of Shop It Every Day Day, of using the credit cards day, when you ain't got the dough to pay for that. I hope I'm speaking to somebody today. I'm sure I'm speaking to several people. If you don't have the money to pay for it, it shouldn't be under the tree. And if you don't have the money for a tree, buy a plant. Put a candle on it, whatever, you'll be all right. God does not want you to celebrate his birth in debt. That's free. That wasn't in my notes. For me and my household, we will make sure that we honor God on Christmas and not honor Santa Claus. You know, James is making a great point by using some people from the Old Testament here. Excuse me one sec while I catch my notes. Look over in Isaiah 41. You know, it's a great thing when people look at you and say, wow, he's a friend of God. But is that what we're living for? Are we living for people's approval? Are we looking, do we do our righteous deeds in front of people so that people can look at us as being righteous? Or do we do them when no one's watching? You know, one person I think of is my wife. When she has her quiet time, she doesn't announce it to the world. She doesn't come in and say, oh, I'm going to have my quiet time. She has it in the bed most of the time, and she's by herself. The kids don't see it. Sometimes I don't see it. But I know it happens. Why? Because of the life that she lives. She has a gentle and quiet spirit that only comes from God. By ourselves, we're not very gentle and we're not very quiet. I know for myself, I'm neither one. But when I'm with God, I can be gentle. The quiet part I'm working on, but the gentle part I'm working on as well. In James 41, verse 8. I'm sorry. Yeah. Isaiah 41, verse 8. I just want to make sure you guys are awake. Isaiah 41, verse 8 says, but you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. Did you catch that? God called him my friend. That's who you want to hear it from. It's cool when your boys say it. It's cool when your friends say it. It's cool when your husband or wife says it. It's cool when your kids say it. But it's priceless when God considers you a friend. Guys, we cannot live for people's approval. People will let you down. People will hurt you. And you cannot live based on what people do to you. If you did, you would be like the wind going every different direction. But with God, when you're God's friend, he will sustain you. He will build you up. He will lift you up. He will hold you up when the only thing you want to do is lay down. Anybody else here have a challenging week? Guys, life is challenging sometimes. But you know what? Even our perspective of what a challenging week looks different when we're God's friend. When we know that God is for us, it doesn't matter what man does. They could cuss you out. They could take the last turkey leg. They could do whatever. It don't matter. I got the last turkey leg, by the way. So people probably were mad at me, like my daughter. But anyway. The amazing news that I want to bring you guys today is it is possible to be a friend of God. Abraham was a man just like the rest of us. God is not a respecter of persons. He looks at us all the same. So today, if you're not already, you can be a friend of God. That's very encouraging. But it's very sobering if you feel you're not. I pray you're sober this morning. Look over in John 15. You know, there are expectations to friendship. You can't just show up in somebody's life and just say, oh yeah, we're friends. No, 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 no. Friendship is earned. And then friendship is kept. There are certain things we need to do to be a great friend. You know, the amazing thing about being a friend of God is he doesn't expect us to be perfect. You know, sometimes we walk into this relationship with God and we're like, you know, man, I'm not good enough. You're right. I'm not spiritual enough. You're right. I don't have enough. You never will. The great thing about God is he allows us to come to him as we are. And he accepts us. You know, when you're friends with somebody, you're on equal playing field with them. What, you tell me what other religion is out there that gives you equal relationship with God. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So Christians, when you're out there in the workplace this week, and people are tempting you to sin, and people are mistreating you, remember, you are a friend of God. As disciples, we are a friend of God. He looks at us, he gave us the Holy Spirit as the deposits to set us apart. Please remember that when you're on the campuses, when you're in the high schools, when you're at home. Doesn't it get real at home sometimes? Why is that? Because we know each other. We see each other with the crust in our eyes. We fight over that turkey leg. I'm going back to the turkey leg. We fight at home, don't we? Do you fight with your coworkers? Most of the time we don't. Because we have more social graces with people we're not close to than where we are with people we're close to. Isn't that wrong, though? Now, I'm not saying go fight with your coworkers. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is show abundant grace. When someone mistreats you, remember, you're a friend of God. And if they're a disciple, so are they. Guys, when we go through conflict, we need to think the best of the other person, no matter how we're feeling. You know, sometimes it might not feel right at the moment, but trust me, if you say something crazy, you're going to think about it later and feel shame. You're going to wish that you had just slowed your roll down just a little bit, that you had pumped the brakes on the pride and just said, God, give me the strength to deal with this righteously. That's what a friend of God would do. Look at John 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. You see, being friends, you're not strangers. You know each other very well, very intimately. You know the desires of the person's heart. Right now, think about your best friend. Do they know you well? Do you know them well? You cannot have hundreds, even dozens best friends. My best friend is my wife. She knows everything about me. And she still loves me. Isn't that what a best friend does? Isn't that what God does? Knows your warts, knows your scars, knows your shortcomings, but still claims you. my best friend. Then I have some other great friends that know me very well, too, because I'm pretty open. I keep it real. You know what I'm saying? You need to keep it real when you're friends with people. Because if people don't know who you are, then they don't know who they're friends with. When I'm not doing well, I tell people. I don't put on the minister, you know, air or say, you know, I have to be careful about. No, please. If it is there, it's there, and I'm going to tell you. I remember Rachel, where is she? She was there. Yeah, there she is. Rachel came up to me last Sunday and asked me, how you doing? And I told her. And I was doing okay, but I was feeling some stuff too. And I told her. Why? Because she's a friend. I love her very much. She was our intern last year. We became very close. She's on our ministry for 3 years. So I told her. Is that what I should have done? Absolutely. Come ask me how I'm doing. I'll tell you. I hope you'll do the same. See, you know what? I consider people here friends, but I consider all disciples family. You know that brother and sister thing? It's supposed to be for real. It's not just a Christian standard, hello. What's up, bro? What's up, sis? I understand that if you forget somebody's name, it comes in handy. But it's not supposed to be that. Here Jesus is calling us friends. But there's a condition to the friendship, right? What is it? Obedience. Do we think about that when we choose our friends? When we have friendships in the world? Kids, I know you're out there. Are you friends of your parents? What I mean by that, do you obey your parents? Do they have to repeat themselves time and time again? That's not being a great friend. Mark, I hope you're listening. He's a great friend. He does listen. Jesus calls us. He says, if you want to be my friend, you need to obey what I command. Does he deserve us to obey his commands? Absolutely. He died for us. You know, when you're walking around in life and life isn't feeling so good and you're feeling kind of down, remember, someone loves you so much that they were willing to sacrifice first their son and then him, his own life. Remember, when Jesus went to the cross, he did so willingly. No one coerced him. God didn't come down and say, boy, you know what I told you to go do? Go do it. Jesus had the out the whole time. He had the ace in his pocket the whole time. He could have left us high and dry. But not only did he die for us, he said, look, you're my friends. You could be my servants. I could be making you wash my feet, but I'm washing yours. Why? Because you're my friend. Turn over to 1 John. You know, I feel that God wants us to really see and really test our hearts to see if we're truly a friend of God. You know, when we sing that song, I pray that you never sing that song again flippantly. You know, we sing a lot of songs at church, and there's times when we sing stuff, and sometimes we're just singing the words. I challenge you. I implore you. Listen to what you're singing. You know, I was tempted one time to do this to the teens. I was going to change the lyrics one time and see if they heard it. Now I can't do it because they're here. But to see if people are really listening. Guys, we can get caught up in the motions. We get caught up in the motions of Thanksgiving. It rolls around, we have turkey. It rolls around, we get full, we pass out in a turkey coma, and that's our Thanksgiving. But that's not what Thanksgiving is supposed to be for disciples. Disciples need to take it higher because we have so much to be grateful for. 1 John 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. God wants us to stay away from sin. Why? Because it hurts us. It's not like God is the greatest party pooper ever. God wants us to party and have a good time his way. Cleanly. You know, many of us that are older recognize, even without becoming disciples, that the way we used to live was stupid. Yes, I use the word stupid. Getting home when the sun is getting up. Stupid. We felt sick. It didn't feel good. Being an argumentative person. Stupid. What did it get you? A black eye or some time in county jail? You know, I heard somebody was telling me that a lady was using pepper spray to get a game or something that she wanted. Stupid! I hope, lady, you're listening to this. That was stupid! And if you fought with her to get that video game, you is equally dumb. There ain't no game in the world worth losing my eyesight even for a few minutes. See, you got it. Thank you. Appreciate that. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's very easy to see this morning if you're a friend of God. Are you obeying God's commands? And are you living for this world or for the world to come? What an amazing opportunity we have, guys, to be able to be a friend of God. What does that give us? That gives us eternity with our friend. It gives us an eternity with God who loves us dearly. Guys, you know, during this holiday season, I pray that we focus on that. We don't focus so much on all the gifts that we need to go buy and all the food that we need to cook. I pray that this holiday season, that we have a different holiday season. That this season, we're genuinely different. Not because I challenge you, but because of your quiet times are leading you a place to be different. I pray that your Bible studies are amazing. You know, how are you a friend when you don't want to pick up the phone? That's not a great friend. If you're struggling with prayer, I dare say your friendship is hurting with God. If you're having a hard time having your quiet time or reading your Bible and being deep with God, I dare say your relationship with God is not doing well. The amazing thing is God always wants us back. The great thing about God is he's not like our earthly friends who are fickle and change with the wind. God is faithful. God is here, and God wants to be your friend today. Amen? God bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, it's just so good, Father, to be able to come before you today and just show how much we appreciate you and how thankful we are for you. But Father, after this awesome message from John, I pray that we will understand more about what it means to be a friend of yours. Father, I pray that we leave from here thinking about what it is we need to do this week, today, to draw even closer to you. Father, I pray that you will just help us, Father, to always be mindful of you, regardless of what the circumstances are. And Father, I pray that we do become so close to you, Father, that you too will call us your friend. Father, we just love you and ask these things in your son's name. Amen. You're dismissed.